Episode 2.7, Dumpster Fire. Let the games begin, or at least the hunt for the cubes anyway. It would figure, why would someone send something so important, so valuable, without any instructions for use? Great. Someone goes and messes up their life, and now I have to go and find all the pieces and put it back together. Lovely. Good thing I have time, I think. I don't even know. Ugh. Well, at least I have Benny here with me, even though I can't trust him 100%. It's okay. I still don't know if I'm doing the right thing. But I suppose in every situation, the right thing is subjective. So I guess I'll coast along through space, through life, until I find my innards. Or at least some reason for the chaos. Maybe I can solve this huge puzzle. The ship zooms off from Aquarius on our way to Earth again. We cinch through wormholes leading through the emptiness of space, traveling light years in seconds. Arriving in Earth's atmosphere, I await Ben for further instruction. Watching him on the computer is an interesting sight. It's like watching an orchestrated light show. The subject on the holographic screen looks like a mangled sycamore tree alit in an entrancing glow. Staring at the manifestation, I return to my dreams. The haunting silhouette of the ominous tree calls to me once again.
Oh, wow.
I grab at the hologram.
I know that tree.
Ben examines the tree with the solemnity of a general sizing up enemy troops.
It's a Ziguru tree. Ash was insinuating you may have to fight one eventually. I want to be prepared as possible, so I'm doing some research.
He taps the images and closes the windows. The computer screen disintegrates into pixels.
Let's return our attention to the issue at hand. The cube. Can you recollect when Abby found the cube for the first time?
I don't recall the exact date of delivery.
Don't you know? I know a year. The date was random to avoid suspicion. A birthday would be a really obvious date. You know what I mean?
Well, that makes sense. Before I finish my sentence,
wait a second.
A force within me warns my core. Something ignites a flash of memory. Somehow, I recall the day Abby received the cube. I was sitting at the table after Greg left for work. I see the room, unmistakably. On the kitchen wall is the calendar Greg used to keep track of his unreliable schedule. Across the date of April 13th, Greg wrote inventory in large black marker. Of course, Greg was doing inventory at the club on that day. The clock above the calendar reads 4:35. I splinter from my trance.
April 13th, 4:35 p.m. in 24 seconds. Great! You suddenly remember the exact time? That's amazing.
I can't explain it. I just saw the kitchen, the calendar, and clock.
Yes!
Ben pumps his fist with delight.
You're still connected to her. When we entered the same time sphere as Abby, you must have flashed into her living shell.
He quietly lands the ship in Greg's backyard.
We have to find and steal the cube. Before the dupe does.
We exit the ship, and Ben programs the Imani for the correct day, 15 minutes before the delivery. We flash into the past and move around to the front of the house to find the package sent by Ash. There's no package on the porch yet.
Well, now what?
Although I know it's not time for delivery, I'm highly bothered by this inconvenience.
Now we await our delivery.
Duh.
Ben walks to the side of the house to hide. Within minutes, there's a flash of light. The sought-after box has been delivered, and the courier gone. We rush to the porch, but before we pick up the box, Greg pulls into the driveway, forcing us to hide once again. The car door slams, followed by footsteps leading to the porch. Greg walks into the house, taking our box with him.
Shit! There's not enough time between drop-off and pick-up to take the box! Ah! We need to find the box, unattended. Ash can't be right about Hept. I'll never hear the end of it.
The box wasn't unattended, Ben. It went from Greg's possession to Abby's. I can't finish my sentence. What if it was never taken by a dupe, but by Ben himself?
I have a plan.
Ben reassures me as he walks away. He starts toward the porch,
But I stop him. I don't think we should do this.
Well, why not?
He points to the driveway.
Greg's gone. It's a good time to enact a robbery.
It's not that, Ben. I remember this. I remember the cube being stolen.
So?
He shrugs.
You also said a dupe stole it.
He starts to walk again.
We just need to get to the cube before the dupe does.
I grab the back of his shirt.
I don't know for certain it was a dupe. I only remember Ben.
Or a Ben. And for all I know, you're the one who fucked all this up. Before I can continue my argument, another flash of light grabs our attention. Two shadows appear, marching straight for the house.
Shit, belay that argument.
I dart after them. We enter the house. It's empty. They've taken Abby and the cube.
Ugh.
Ben glares at me with a stern look.
Are you happy?
I bow my head in shame. I'm sorry, Benny. I have trust issues.
Obviously, Audie, my man. If this partnership is gonna work, you have to trust me.
Well, I guess I'm gonna have to try, huh? Ben rolls his eyes.
Would you please try?
I nod.
Okay, boss.
I'll make a wholehearted attempt to rebuild my trust for Ben. I mean, if he's telling the truth, I have no reason not to. At the back door, Ben programs the Imani to reset the situation. We hurry through the laundry room to the kitchen, standing face to face with Abby. Hello, Benny. Abby's eyebrows raise with curiosity.
You seem different.
Wait, you know me?
Ben is shocked and excited.
This is either a really bad case of deja vu,
she scrunches her face,
or a highly complicated lucid dream.
Ben narrows his eyes.
This is worse than I thought. She's remembering us. I don't know how many times she's experienced this, but she's definitely remembering.
I lean into his ear.
I can tell you of at least two experiences myself.
Ben picks up the box containing the cube.
If you remember me, then you also remember.
He opens the box and displays the cube to Abby.
We need this.
What the hell is that thing? Abby snatches the cube. Is it some kind of puzzle box? I smile.
Yes, it's a very complicated puzzle.
Abby's suspicion grows as she looks me in the face.
You look oddly familiar.
She looks me up and down.
But I can't say we've ever met.
A dupe waltzes into the kitchen.
Whoa, what the-
Abby panics.
Ben?
She switches her glance between Ben and his duplicate.
Another Ben?
What in the world is going on? Before another thought reaches my brain, I dash to the intruder, tackling him to the floor. Anger overflows from my fists as I thump the dupe in the face.
What are you do?
Ben grabs me up.
Son of a bitch!
He pins me against the wall.
Chill out!
I'm sorry, Ben. It's just...
I try to calm my obvious breaths.
This was the moment in Abby's life when everything changed.
I stare at the unmoving dupe, my rage still boiling up.
The moment when the confusion started, the avalanche of death and loneliness, the origin of Quelm deep inside of me. I've been kidnapped, shot, killed, burned, at the cusp of the end. And for what, Benny?
Ben's eyes water as he forces a smile.
You know, when Ash thought up this damn plan... It was supposed to be for the greater good.
Despite losing his round of fisticuffs,
whoa!
The dupe awakens from his brief bout of unconsciousness. He quickly pulls a capsule from his pocket, biting down. Within milliseconds, every crevice of his body bubbles up with a disgusting translucent goo. The pill disintegrates his body completely, leaving no trace of his existence. The three of us freeze, aghast. Unable to comprehend the visual.
Holy shitballs!
Ben runs his finger on the clean floor where the dupe's body disappeared.
I've never seen that before.
What the hell just happened?
Oh, I'm sorry, I screwed up.
It doesn't matter. Where is the cube?
Abby nods toward the counter where the cube sits. I go to the counter and try to grab the cube. When I reach for the cube, I instead knock it to the floor.
Shit! Damn it!
Frustrated by my clumsiness, I take a breath to recalibrate, then pick up the cube. A crack has developed in the glass. As I examine it, the cube begins to vibrate, humming loudly. The humming becomes louder and louder, bordering on unbearable. The cube rises up from my palm, and the humming changes to a higher-pitched noise, a screech, temporarily shattering all present sound. Ben and I hold our ears and clench our jaws to counteract the pressure of the noise. Not Abby. She's completely unaffected. Her lips mouth concern for the situation. Her face reads befuddlement. But all I hear is the ungodly noise from the cube. After a few moments of seemingly unending torture, the cube stops the noise. It levitates, hovering in the air a second, before shooting upward through the ceiling, vanishing into the sky.
Whoa, are you guys okay?
Abby is the first audible sound.
I
shake my ears. You didn't hear that?
She shrugs. All I heard was you guys screaming in pain as that crazy cube thing danced in the fucking air. Ben looks like he's figured it out.
Audie heard the Oracle screech and Abby didn't. Interesting.
Oracle. Great. Another enemy.
Well, no. The Oracle is not an enemy. Or a friend, for that matter. Oracle is the name of the sound we just heard. The unbearable screech. The name Oracle comes from an old Hedwin legend, the most powerful of all time. Legend states that the Oracle was a mass of pure energy. It was so extraordinarily powerful, it required no physical shell, because it had no physical form. The Oracle could take the form of anything. Anyway, the Oracle had been labeled malicious by the Octad, and captured into Zuguru Wood. The wood was planted, trapping the Oracle in a Zuguru tree forever, where it couldn't roam around doing whatever the Octad did not want it to do. Because Zuguru trees can devour entire planets, the Octad knew eventually they would have to find a way to destroy it. But how do you destroy an indestructible tree?
He asks me with a smile. I shrug.
You have to fight it? No.
He shakes his head.
Unfortunately, only the owner of the innards can fight a Zuguru.
I see.
And since the owner of the shell is not available, the Zuguru is the owner, an independent entity set on mayhem. That's what we're trying to avoid with Ash's Zuguru.
I nod.
So, what did they do?
Good question.
Ben turns himself into a Sherlock Holmes-style detective.
The Octad found out how to uproot it, which is impossible for anyone but the Octad. It takes a lot of energy to levitate a tree from the ground, if you know what I mean, especially without touching it. But they did it. They threw it into the fiery cobalt sun, burning the tree.
That story sounds far-fetched, Ben. I'm not sure if I believe that.
It does, which is why it's a legend. But wait, the plot is thicker. When the cobalt sun burned up the Zuguru tree, it released the Oracle from its only known shell into eternity. The Oracle disappeared, only able to communicate via an inhuman screech, heard when an innard speaks into the wrong ears.
He points to his ears.
The horrid screech has become known as the screech of the Oracle. Deafening by design. Rounding up my story, the reason we heard the screech is because we are not worthy of the innard inside. Ash's innard. And the Oracle wants to scream in people's ears like a jerk, I guess.
Ben's long-winded story explains the horrifying noise made by the cube, but it doesn't explain my hearing it.
Why would I hear the noise, Ben? The cube is supposed to hold my innard.
Well, you see, Audie, this is Abby's cube. It's basically programmed for her shell.
He scratches his chin.
You should have been able to make contact, though, I would have thought. I guess that would explain why Ash suggested we use Hept.
What is going on here? Abby asks.
I'm sorry, Abby, but you're not privy to that info just yet.
I flash Ben a look.
Doesn't matter. She's not going to remember this dumpster fire of a reality anyway.